Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
You know, I listen to Bickley and Murata. Terrific show, by the way. I really enjoy it.
Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Bickley.
Sportsman. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Good Monday morning. Welcome back to the grind, people. Bickley and Murata mornings. I am Vince Murata. Tim Ring in for Dan Bickley today and all this week. Sarah Cazell's here.
Hello.
Jared Carlin is here. We've reconvened after a eventful weekend. Was it eventful? I saw you on TV yesterday. I know it was eventful for you.
I'm in a fog today, video. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in a fog. You know why? Because I was literally in a fog driving in. It was a foggy day, babe.
Vinny only has about a 14-foot commute.
Yeah,
so.
It didn't affect me, but yes. I got the alert on my smart speaker.
Be and safe
I checked,
out
I was
there.
Like, fog alert? What?
Felt like I was in the Bay Area, babe.
Foggy London town, babe. Yeah.
Be safe out there, people. Be safe out there.
Yeah, because that's one of the things we don't deal with very often.
Not often.
And when it happens, it's a little jarring. Kind of like, I don't know, Arizonans driving in rain.
I can't see where I'm going.
How weird was Saturday, by the way? It was, the downpour was relentless.
We don't get days like that where it's all rainy, like a total wipeout day, as we used to call it in the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday was the day I decided, hey, I'm going to start my Christmas shopping. And I couldn't, I was like, I didn't wear anything with a hood, I didn't have a hat on, I'm like, I'm done.
Do you actually leave the house to Christmas shop?
Yeah, old school.
I do.
You're old school shopper, like the mall?
Do you believe it?
I have adopted the online shopping a little bit.
Okay.
But I got a late start this
first
year.
First, he drives around the valley looking for a mall that's open.
Yes, or that exists.
That's still in business.
Yes. There are still malls open, Jared.
I know. Well, there's less than there used to be, though.
Chandler, Scottsdale Fashion Square.
Yeah, but
I thought they
Arrowhead.
I thought they existed just to film zombie movies.
Wow.
Oh, no more Metro Center, no more PV Mall, no more Christown.
Oh, Christown's there. I just drove by it yesterday.
It is?
Yes.
Oh. Well.
I mean, it's not in the same form that it once was, but it's still there.
By the way, thanks for reminding me. Let me write this down. I have to do Christmas shopping.
Yes. Do that.
I got a week jump start on all you guys. Hanukkah starts a week before Christmas this year. Luckily, I'm not getting anyone anything.
Good.
You all know what you've done.
Thanks. I don't need any socks anyway, Jarrett.
I
love socks. I never understood that because I love socks.
Eight pair.
How do you feel about socks, Jarrett?
Oh, I love socks.
Eight pair. Today is a strange day too because it's a big red Monday without a big red game to talk about.
That's true.
But we'll fill the gaps. Jarrett, start the show.
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Now, the Suns absolutely demolished the San Antonio Spurs yesterday at AT&T Center. 133-95. Spurs jumped out to a 7-0 lead. Suns responded and led by 5 after the first quarter, then outscored San Antonio 36-11 in the second quarter, coasted the rest of the way. DeAndre Ayton, 25 points, 10 rebounds to lead the Suns. Devin Booker's streak of 3 consecutive games with 40 or more points ended, but he did have 20, as did Mikal Bridges. Suns canned 19 three-pointers and had a season-high 37 assists. Listen to the flip side of this for the Spurs, and I know you know this, Tim. San Antonio has now lost 11 straight games. They started the year 5-2. They are 1-16 since then.
Oof. Yes, they have lost 16 out of 17. They have not lost.
And the one win came against the Bucks, which makes perfect sense.
Vinny, they have not lost. I mean, this is uncharted territory for this organization. I mean, they're still the winningest team in NBA history, percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. They're ahead of the Lakers. Think about that. They have not lost 11 games in a row since 1989.
Wow.
89.
Suns, no rest tonight. They're in Dallas to visit Luka Doncic and the Mavs. That game tips off at 6:30. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 on the Arizona Sports app and 98.7. We'll have a lot of Suns talk today. College hoops, Bobby Hurley's ASU Sun Devils notched another win, this time holding off Stanford at Desert Financial Arena, 68-64. Devils led by as many as 13 in the second half, but Stanford chipped away. They took a one-point lead on a Michael Jones free throw with 5:27 left. ASU quickly got the lead back, didn't let it go. Desmond Cambridge Jr. had 19 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 steals for the Sun Devils, who are now 2-0 in the Pac-12 for the first time under Bobby Hurley. Isn't that hard to believe?
Yes.
They've never started 2-0 under his watch.
It's not hard to believe because Bobby Hurley, he's done some great things, but you know, playing well in the Pac-12 historically has not been his thing.
That's true.
2-0, though, is not an unreachable.
No, but they've kind of stubbed their toe out of the gate in the Pac-12 pretty much every year of his tenure.
Yeah, a little break now from Pac-12 play. ASU will face SMU on the road on Wednesday. Hurley did say after the game, too, that forward Marcus Bagley has, quote, stepped away from the team, that ASU will support him, but offered no elaboration. That situation is a mess. Arizona bounced back from a loss at Utah. They beat up on Cal 81-68 in Tucson. Azulis Tabellis led the Cats with 25 points. Cardinals are back at their practice facility today in Tempe to get to work after their Week 13 bye. Elsewhere in the NFC West, the Seahawks slipped by the Rams 27-23. Geno Smith hit DK Metcalf on an 8-yard touchdown pass with 36 seconds left. In Santa Clara, the 49ers lost quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo to a foot injury. They were still able to beat the Dolphins 33-17 behind Brock Purdy, the former Perry High star who had 2 touchdown passes and is the man, because Kyle Shanahan announced after the game Garoppolo out for the season, will need surgery on his foot. That was a nasty looking injury.
Trey Lance coming back, not an option either. So it's Purdy,
yes,
baby.
Purdy and I forget who they even have on their roster. They're going out to get Josh Johnson every NFL team.
They're getting Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be Purdy.
Is Nick Mullins still around?
It might not be Purdy. Brock Purdy from Perry.
And Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, if I'm not mistaken.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes, so now he's very relevant, at least for the time being. Yep. So with the 49ers, 8-4, Seattle 7-5, Cardinals in third at 4-8, and the Rams bringing up the rear at 3-9. As one of the worst defending Super Bowl champions of all time, the Rams. Looked like the Colts-Cowboys game might go down to the wire. In fact, I got one of those one-score alerts going into the fourth quarter. Hey, you might want to tune in. Dallas led the Colts 21-19 entering the fourth, but then exploded for 33 points in the final 15 minutes to win 54-19 on Sunday Night Football. Game of the day was in Cincinnati, where the Bengals rallied for 10 fourth-quarter points to beat Kansas City 27-24. Travis Kelce had a fumble that led to a Cincinnati TD, and Harrison Butker missed a potential game-tying field goal from 55 yards in the fourth. Cincinnati now tied with the Ravens at 8-4, and they continue their ownership of the Kansas City Chiefs, interestingly enough.
The Chiefs have a little problem with Joe Burrow,
yes,
and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Boyd. I don't know if they're going to meet again in the postseason, but something to think about.
Yeah, they probably don't want to meet them again in the postseason.
No, and that expected coronation of the AFC title game between the Bills and the Chiefs,
mm-hmm,
maybe the Bengals have something to say about that.
They're definitely in
come
the conversation.
January, yep.
Week 13 wraps up tonight in Tampa. Bucks hosting the Saints on Monday Night Football in a game that kicks off at 6:15. The field for the college football playoff announced on Sunday. It'll be top seed Georgia against Ohio State in the Peach Bowl semifinal. Buckeyes got there despite not qualifying for their conference championship game. The other semi in Glendale at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl will feature second-seeded Big Ten champion Michigan and third-seeded TCU, who lost their championship game but did not get affected. We'll have some reaction to some college football news, too.
Half the playoff just moonwalking backwards, yeah, into the postseason.
Yeah. It's what you look for.
Well, we got to have four, I guess. You're YouTube You two people get in here. All right, come on in.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl at Chase Field will take place December 27th. It'll be Wisconsin against Oklahoma State and the Arizona Bowl in Tucson, Ohio, and Wyoming on December 30th. Yotes on the ice tonight, second to last game on their 14-game stretch away from home. They're in Calgary, or Calgary, as some people call it. Take on the Flames. Puck drops at 7. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 on the Arizona Sports app and ESPN 620. Fred McGriff has been elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame by the Contemporary Era Committee. McGriff, 493 home runs in his 19-year career for 6 different teams. Those who did not get enough votes from this committee: Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Dale Murphy, Rafael Palmeiro, and Don Mattingly.
All those people are no Fred McGriff.
I had the same, I had a very similar reaction. Like, all of those players were better players than Fred McGriff, but he's the one going.
The thing about Fred McGriff, though, if he had seven more home runs, he probably would have already been in the Hall of Fame. That's sort of a weird designation not to put him in.
He never got more than 37% of the vote in 10 years on the ballot.
I hate these committees. They've been putting in a lot of, like, very good players. Yeah.
The Biddy committees. The names you just gave, though, except for Mattingly, they're all tainted.
How dare Dale you smear the name of Dale Murphy?
Two-time MVP.
All right, except for Dale Murphy.
Fred McGriff was very good for a very long time,
Dale
but
Murphy
never great.
At one point was the best player in the National League for a several-year stretch. Don Mattingly was the best player in baseball for a several-year stretch.
I agree. I remember the Dale Murphy era, obviously. Dale Murphy should be it.
We watched it in all of its glory on TBS.
We did.
And finally, a couple more knockout games on tap at the World Cup today. Of course, the U.S. Exiting on Saturday after losing to the Netherlands. But Japan against Croatia at 8, and then Brazil against South Korea. Man, that was a frustrating game on Saturday for the U.S. team. Anyhow, there's your splash for Monday, December 5th. Coming up next, Suns, they lose on Friday, but they bounced back in a big way yesterday in San Antonio. We'll get into some of the details. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings with Tim Rang in for Bick today here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bounces to Ayton on the block, posting up against Vassell to the cutting Sharts. Gives to a wide open Bridges for 3. And Mikel drills another one. He is 6 for 7 from deep. Lob pass on the inbounds is jammed home by DeAndre Ayton. Campaign hit him on a beautiful look, and DA's got 23 to lead all scorers.
John Bloom with a couple of highlights from yesterday's Suns win over the San Antonio Spurs. And when you focus on the words, Tim Ring, who's in for Bick today, focus on the words wide open for 3. That was certainly a theme yesterday, and DeAndre Ayton scoring on an inbounds play on a dunk. Pretty much the Suns for 3 quarters doing whatever they wanted to against San Antonio.
DA was 10 for 14 from the field. He had 25 points in 25 minutes. I mean, Booker and company barely kind of broke a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny, it was funny. The Spurs jumped out to a 7-0 lead. It was like a 2-point game late in the first quarter. It was a 5-point game after one. And even though the Suns never really looked like they were playing spectacular basketball, at halftime, you looked up and they were up by 30.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one of those games where the opponent was completely overmatched. And we talked about it on the pregame show. I had the opportunity to fill in for Tom Leander yesterday. And Tom Chambers and Eddie Johnson just, you know, they didn't mince words. I mean, this is an organization right now in the Spurs that are just clearly, they're putting a roster out there that is not NBA caliber. And they're taking for Victor Wembanyama. There's just no doubt about it. Of course, it's not that easy because there's a lottery system in place.
Yes.
I mean, Popovich hasn't even been on the bench the last 2 games. And they've lost 16 out of 17.
Hey, he's got better stuff to do.
Yep. I mean, it was funny.
Take some more time, Greg. You've earned it.
One of the Spurs writers, he was actually in the arena on Friday. They played the Pelicans, but he didn't coach. And one of the Spurs writers said, all I can tell you about his minor medical procedure is when he talked to the media, he usually sits down, but he stood up. And I'm like, okay. He had a procedure on his butt. I'm like, you know, okay. So
finally, those implants.
interesting way to put it. Whatever. I mean, it could have been his back, but getting back to the Suns, they did what they needed to do, and I think big picture, they play the Mavericks tonight, so it was good. All those guys, all starters were on the bench, didn't play the fourth quarter, so now you got a back-to-back.
When you got three games in 4 days, that's what you want to do.
And Mavs and Celtics coming up on Wednesday, Boston's in town. So to get all those guys rest and to make kind of quick work with the Spurs yesterday afternoon, probably a good thing for Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's too bad, really, it's too bad we're not now talking about an 8-game winning streak, because how they let a 15-point third-quarter lead slip away against the Rockets on Friday night kind of sticks in your craw a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. Friday night against the Rockets was a very, very frustrating basketball game for a number of reasons. It was frustrating, the result, first and foremost, obviously, because the Suns, again, and they've done this a few times, and they did it toward the tail end of last year, too. The regular season is an 82-game grind. We all get it, but the Suns are going to have talent advantages against most opponents. Sometimes they play down to the competition. You know, the game late last year against Oklahoma City, who didn't even have its best players, and the Thunder ran the Suns out of the gym. Houston's got a lot of talent. They're not the smartest team in the world. They're very young. They got to the free throw line. That was a bad loss on Friday. And I know people, and I've said it too on this show, you know, after last year's experience with the Suns, Tim, you can't get caught up in the ins and outs and the wins and losses on every single day in the NBA season, because we saw that last year, 64 regular season wins didn't necessarily lend itself to anything in the postseason. So you can't take them all to heart. That one sucked, though. And it was frustrating, too, because DeAndre Ayton had been playing like an absolute madman, and I think had one of his worst games as a pro on Friday night against the Rockets.
I know, and you can't just excuse him. Well, he had some foul trouble early on.
He even said it wasn't foul trouble.
Right.
He said, I didn't show up at all in this game.
He had five consecutive games where he looked like Wilt Chamberlain out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honest to God. And
against Bruno Fernando and Alperen Sengun. Sengun's actually really talented, but those are matchups that Ayton should dominate.
Right. Well,
but he had trouble handling the ball. He had trouble catching the ball. It was just one of those games for him. It was frustrating.
And you're going to have games like that, and maybe you try to turn it into a positive where it's like, okay, you get the wake-up call, and you're reminded occasionally that you're not unbeatable. You can't just show up and win a basketball game. But having said that, you did have the big lead late in the third. It wasn't like you were scratching and clawing and were outplayed all game long and just couldn't get the dub. I mean, you had it. The win was in your back pocket,
mm-hmm.
and then you let it slip away. So you did what you were supposed to do for three quarters,
yes,
and then you blew it. Mm-hmm. That's what bothers me about that loss. By the way, speaking of Chamberlain, did you see the Booker stat? We had it yesterday on the pregame show.
Unbelievable.
I mean, are you kidding me?
What was it?
The only two players in NBA history that have had a span of three straight games where they averaged 45 points on 66.7% shooting.
Yes.
For that span, Wilt Chamberlain and now Devin Booker.
Yes. So when you pull the velvet rope back and join a club, mm-hmm. and only Chamberlain standing there?
That, yeah.
I wonder if Anthony Davis has now also joined that after yesterday.
No, well, Jared, don't ruin our little stat here.
No, I'm
he
sorry.
Obviously has not. He's not in the club.
This was before the game. Well, do your research and get back to us, Jared.
No. I like to just bring up stuff without any research.
We know this. The best part of it yesterday, though, was, I actually had some concerns about the Suns going to San Antonio before they play Dallas, another team that they're far better than. Do they play down to their competition again yesterday? They didn't. For the first quarter, it was a little dicey, and then the Suns settled in. And your point and Jarrett's point earlier, when you've got a game against Dallas tonight, and Devin Booker was your leading minutes guy at 27 minutes and 48 seconds, you're in good shape.
He
played 2 seconds more than Ish Wainwright. That tells the story of the game.
I mean, Ish Wainwright was out there knocking down threes. Dario got a get well game.
Yes.
Dario at 17, he knocked down 4 or 5 threes. I mean, Dario did not look good in his first start of the season against the Rockets. He looked slow and out of place, and maybe that was a get well game for Dario yesterday, because Torrey Craig didn't play again yesterday. We don't know if Torrey can go again tonight against Dallas. I mean,
I do wonder though about that. Once Craig is back, and then once Cam Johnson is back, what is the minutes distribution going to look like? Because it's been all over the place
It's going to look like it did before. Saric is going to go back to not playing. I mean,
Biombo.
A lot of it is matchup
Landale
based with Saric and Biombo and guys like that.
I think Landale and Biombo will depend on a matchup. I think Dario will go back to not playing. Mm-hmm. Torrey will be that guy off the bench.
Well, we'll have more on the Suns. Big game tonight against Luka and the Dallas Mavericks. Jarrett, I did the research.
Yes.
Anthony Davis, over his last three games, is averaging 42 points on 66.2% shooting.
Sorry, Davis.
Get your Laker
loving ass out of here.
Sorry, Unibrow. Your footwear is not up to club standards. You can't come in.
You ain't in the Chamberlain Booker Club, buddy boy.
Loser.
Go down the street to Loserville.
All week this week, listen to the Wolf and Luke show for the Pantera call-out. Once you hear Wolf do the call-out, call 602-260-9870 for your chance to win tickets to see Metallica with Pantera at State Farm Stadium on September 1st. If you don't know what the Pantera call-out is, trust me, you'll know it when you hear it.
That is a perfect, perfect promotion for that show.
Yeah.
That is synergy. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's all coming together. Coming up next, Cardinals back to work this week after their bye. And there are questions about this football team for the remaining 5 games. We'll get into some of those looming questions next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Tim Rang in for Dan Bickley today here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Every week you want to win. 2, you do want to see young players, and unfortunately or fortunately, we've had an opportunity to see a lot of our young players. When you look at our draft choices and Trey and obviously Maji Sanders and Cam and all those guys that are playing, and they're actually continuing to get better and better, which are good signs for us. But at the same time, there are growing pains, and week to week we go through that and we see it. I think that it's not going to change our approach. Our approach is always going to be to win football games, regardless of who's out there on the field. But again, I just the way the things have fell this year, it's been unfortunate and disappointing and obviously unacceptable to not only our organization, but to our fan base.
Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, his weekly visit last Friday with Burns and Gambo on, what is left for the Arizona Cardinals. We know what's left. 5 games with not really anything other than pride to play for at this point. That's the situation they've carved out from themselves. Steve Keim talked about it. The injuries have obviously been a factor. But I'll say this time and time again. Every team in the NFL over the course of 17 games deals with injuries. Some get it worse than others. The good teams overcome it, and they talk about the next man up mentality. The bad teams will lean on it and say, we've had 12 different offensive line combinations this year. You know what? The offensive line that was patchwork against the Los Angeles Chargers in the last game played a pretty damn good football game. They played well enough to win.
Yeah. And other teams have had more guys in totality on IR than the Cardinals. It's not like they lead the league in that category. You can make the case, though, that the amount of injuries in totality on that offensive line has put them really behind the eight ball. On the other side of the coin, when they had a full offensive line, they weren't exactly a great football team either.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different ways to look at that. You know me, Vinny. I don't think I've ever been accused of being an optimist. I'm pretty much a glass half empty guy most of the time.
Sure.
It's in my nature.
I've seen you at the meetings.
Yes. No, I'm just, I'm not one of those guys that will sit here on a Monday on the radio and say, hey, if they could just win out, keep the faith, raw team. I try to be realistic about it. So having said that, what really bothers me about not being able to finish that Charger game, mm-hmm. as crazy as it sounds, had they been able to just finish the job and get one first down, the reality is they would be a win on Monday night at home on Monday Night Football against a very beatable 6-6 Patriots team from facing the hapless Denver Broncos the following week to get to 7-7.
Yes, absolutely.
As crazy as this season has been and as bad as it's been, that would be the scenario facing this team if they could have just finished the job. Now, easier said than done. I mean, Bill Belichick could come in and just beat that team on Monday night. And I say the Broncos are hapless. Well, hell, the Cardinals are hapless. But,
yeah, but the Broncos are looking at the Cardinals being on the schedule going, oh, ooh, we can get healthy again.
Yeah, that team. Right.
We can get 12 points versus them.
But the reality is, I mean, look, if you're the Cardinals and you're getting Brown back and Hopkins together with that guy and Kyler's getting back, if you could have just finished the job and somehow find a way to beat the Patriots at home on Monday Night Football, which is not impossible, you're like, hey, we got the Broncos coming up with a chance to get to 7-7. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like, okay, we can pull ourselves back into the playoff race, but all of a sudden 500 is looking pretty good. But they couldn't do it.
500 would have looked amazing.
It would have looked amazing.
But they couldn't do it.
But they couldn't do it, and now we're sitting here at 4-8, and people's jobs are on the line,
yes.
And Mike Bidwell has to be thinking about what he's going to do with his front office and his coaching staff, and extensions be gone. And now you have, by the way, speaking of the coaching staff, did you hear what Mike Florio had to say late last week?
About the Cardinals coaching staff?
About the contract extensions. And Florio basically went on and said that he doesn't believe that those are fully guaranteed.
Gambo said the opposite, right?
Yes.
Well, you know, that. But let's consider what the sources might be on that. You know, that might be in the Eric Burkhardt's best interest to say they're fully guaranteed. So who's to say what's accurate and what's not?
Yeah, we've never seen the language of the contract.
We've never seen it.
That remains a mystery.
And Mike Florio may have other information that they're not fully guaranteed. I don't know. It's just something to think about.
Yeah, but with the Cardinals, they take the field a week from today against the Patriots, 4-8. It's December. My partner, Dan Bickley, always talks about December in certain scenarios being zombie football, where you're just going through the motions. Just trying to get through the season at this point. And a lot of 4-8 teams in the history of the NFL have done that. Is motivation an issue? Steve Keim talked about that with Burns and Gambo as well on Friday.
I think it sort of goes back to the evaluation process. You know, the one thing that I've tried to do with our scouts and our coaches is to try to hammer home the idea that we want competitors. Obviously, Buda Baker is the poster child for that. If you got to get excited to play on Sunday and you're getting paid this kind of money and you can't get up for it and you're not feeling it, obviously they're not the kind of players we want around here. And then certainly work themselves out of the organization. But I know that I have a lot of respect for the Buda Bakers and the J.J. Watts and the guys who I know are going to lay it on the line each week regardless of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Keim is propping up players who deserve to be propped up. Buda Baker has been an inspiration this year in a very, very tough season, obviously. Not only just with the way he plays, but with his words, playing through injury, coming back from a high ankle sprain, didn't even miss a game. The problem with that, Tim, is that Buda Baker and J.J. Watt are the outliers.
Yes.
They're the guys that are standing out so much because, you know, I'm not saying these guys don't play hard, but they're so far off the charts when it comes to effort and passion about this football team that it hasn't permeated throughout the rest of the team. And I think that's one of the reasons, and there's a number of them, that's one of the reasons why they're 4-8. This doesn't really strike you as a passionate football team, top to bottom.
No, and Steve Keim says all the right things because what he's saying is what it should be. You got guys getting paid a lot of money to play. It's a privilege to play in this league. The eye in the sky doesn't lie. Guys are playing for jobs, not only maybe with the Cardinals, but with other teams. And you're a professional and you should go out there and compete. Unfortunately, as we all know, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes it does. I mean, there was the 2011 Cardinals, which started 1-6. They finished 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won a lot of games in December. They finished strong. They found a way. They found motivation to stay strong. But we've seen plenty plenty of teams that, as Dan Bickley likes to call it, zombie football, that just start, you know, unraveling in December, and the coach can't keep that locker room together, and motivation is gone, and they don't play good football. Some of it might depend on really who you're playing. I mean, if you're playing teams with a whole hell of a lot to play for, it's going to be hard to win those football games.
Which, I mean, look at the schedule. You got the Patriots. You have
the
Denver Broncos. You've got another game against the 49ers in Week 8 to Tampa Bay on Christmas Day.
You got Tampa Bay.
And Atlanta.
And you got Atlanta.
So you got two teams possibly playing for a lot. I mean, the Patriots are still in the conversation on the outside looking in right now. But it's not the
what
most...
What are your two teams, Tampa and...
San Francisco.
Oh, because Atlanta, I guess, they're technically still in the playoff hunt, but in the same way, I guess, that the Patriots are.
You know, will Atlanta be in the playoff hunt on New Year's Day, which is when that game...
And the San Francisco thing at this point without Jimmy G, who knows what position they'll be playing in at that point.
That's a good foreshadowing,
there
are, Jared.
Well, there is people saying that, like, by the time that game came around, the 49ers might be resting people because they have it locked up. Now, who knows?
That's why Seattle's win yesterday against the Rams would be big, because they obviously are trying to keep pace now with the 49ers.
Early a game back.
The 49ers were, you know, as long as Seattle keeps winning, the 49ers game on the January 8th. How about the regular season ending January 8th now, by the way? Anyway, I digress.
They're going to have to put those dashes in the seasons now. I mean, yeah. The 2022-23 season.
Ugh. My God. I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be in March at the rate we're going.
Text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We will get into that quarterback injury in the NFC West that could shake up the whole NFC playoff picture. That's straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios with Tim Ring in for Bick today on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
Is a right wing number three with Debo next to him, and Ayuk. He's going to throw out right, wide open. Kyle Juszczyk, touchdown! San Francisco.
49ers Radio Network, Brock Purdy to Kyle Juszczyk. 3-yard touchdown pass, one of two touchdown passes for Brock Purdy. A familiar name here in the Valley as he went to high school at Perry, went on to Iowa State. Mr. Irrelevant. I don't know if we've ever had a Mr. Irrelevant in the history of the NFL all of a sudden become so relevant, Tim Ring. Because Brock Purdy is going to be the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers the rest of the way. Jimmy Garoppolo suffers a major foot injury, needs surgery, nasty-looking play. But now you got a rookie, seventh-round pick, final guy who had his name called in the draft, at the helm of... Can we still call them a Super Bowl contender?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, have we ever had a mystery relevant as a starting quarterback in the playoffs, let alone the...
Or even in the regular season? I mean, NFC I have to do the research, game. But yeah.
I mean, I think Ronnie Makeda out of Army was a Mr. Irrelevant. I don't think he ever started an NFL.
I don't even know the name.
Ronnie Makeda? Oh, come on, Vinny. All right, that's it. I'm going to take Vinny on and Vinny Joe trivia in former Army quarterbacks. Maybe I can finally beat this guy over here.
I will concede. We don't even need to play. That's the big question. And I'm willing to say I'm not eliminating the 49ers from contention.
Not with that defense, Vinny.
Not with their defense, not with the way they're structured, and they really, really pulled back. And if you look at Brock Purdy's numbers, his air yards per attempt was by far the lowest in the league yesterday. They went with a very conservative approach when they did throw the ball, and he did throw it 37 times, but if they can enact that formula with that defense, who finally gave up a second-half touchdown yesterday for the first time in like 4 or 5 weeks, they beat a really good Miami team. They made Tua Tagovailoa look really bad. He was awful yesterday, and the 49ers defense had something to do with it. I'm not willing to say, and as ridiculous as it sounds, to hand the keys to the last player drafted in his rookie season as the quarterback, but I'm not willing to say that the 49ers are done. No way.
If there's ever a winning team or a championship contender that is not built around, or their formula for success is not based on quarterback play,
yes,
it is the San Francisco 49ers.
Because look at what they were able to do with Jimmy G. I mean,
that's the point.
He's serviceable.
So if you're doing that with a guy who's just serviceable, who's to say a guy like Brock Purdy can't come in and be serviceable?
Yes.
But the other side of the coin is Jimmy G's been around the block.
Yes.
Probably doesn't make the mistakes that maybe a third string young quarterback might make in a high leverage pressure situation in the playoffs. I mean, that's what you got to look at. Now, you could say, though, I mean, how many more games did they have? They got five more games.
Yep.
So maybe he can get some of the rust off in these five games and they can get him up to speed. But you wonder now, when you get into the high leverage playoff situations, if playing a young third string quarterback at some point,
yeah,
will come back to bite him in the butt.
Yeah, and you got no margin for error.
That's the concern.
They have real no margin for error because the NFC East, if they fall out of first place in the NFC West, they might not make the playoffs at all. They're only a half game up on Washington and the Giants.
Well, let's take a look at their remaining schedule, shall we?
The 49ers.
I have a tough time believing that they're still not going to win the division. So they've got Tampa, uh-huh, then the big game at Seattle.
Mm.
Okay, then the Commanders, then they're at the Raiders, and then of course they finish with the Every game has its own sound effect.
Nobody.
Tom Brady. Oh. At Seattle. Oh. The Commanders. The Raiders.
The Raiders have won three straight games.
No, I know.
And did you see Chandler Jones? He was just saving them all up.
Oh, did he get a sack for
three?
Three
sacks yesterday.
Three?
Yeah. He had a half a sack all year.
That brings his total to
three and a half.
Three and a half.
He'd be near the top of the Cardinals. But I mean, all those games are winnable, but all those games are losable. It's not like they have, you know, the Denver Broncos on their schedule.
Well,
they have the Cardinals.
They have won five straight, and again, you have to lean on that defense, and that defense is nasty. They play with an attitude. They force turnovers. If they can run the football with McCaffrey and Brock Purdy can capitalize,
I mean,
take care of the football and execute the short passing game, they're right there.
They just handled one of the best teams in the NFL, 33-17.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that. Now, are you gonna run the table 5-0? I don't know.
I don't think they do that. That Washington game on Christmas Eve could be very interesting for them. Washington can't be beaten. They can be tied.
They're not losing.
Can I tell you how much?
I'm telling you right now, they're not losing to the Commanders at home on Christmas Eve. I'll bet you $5.
I might look into that.
Yeah, you want some of that action?
Let me just take this opportunity because we had another tie game yesterday and a very pivotal game in the NFC East between the Giants and the Commanders. It ended in a 20-20 tie.
Yes.
Can we get rid of tie games in the NFL, for goodness sake?
Just play 15-minute overtimes.
Well, there's been more ties than ever. There used to be like one tie every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and
now there's
went from
several,
15 to 10.
And a huge difference.
Safety.
That 5 minutes is making the huge, huge difference.
Plus, the dude has to figure out the playoff situations late in the season when he's got ties to factor in.
I hate it. I think
quite
it's a
complicated.
Stain on the standings page. I know there's a tie, a column for ties, but nobody wants a number to be in that. It should be zero.
Yes. Down with ties.
Two ties already this year, right? Yeah.
B.A., he was big on that whole reduce overtime from 15 to 10. Partially his fault. We love Bruce Arians, but come on.
What happened?
I got to get home. It's happy hour, baby.
I got to get a crown of soda, baby. What happened to no risk it, no biscuit?
So here you go. Now, here are your quarterbacks currently, as we speak, in the NFC West. Kyler Murray, Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, and John Wolford. You heard the new news on Matthew Stafford, right?
Yeah.
A spinal contusion.
Uh-huh.
It's not good for Stafford.
I would not be surprised if Stafford called it a career.
Whoa.
And I've heard the rumblings.
He's had serious, serious injuries.
He's got the ring. He's got the money.
I don't know if you're that far off.
I'm not predicting
he's
it.
Got
I'm
a
saying
wife.
I would not be surprised.
He's got a wife that has been very, very outspoken about his physical condition and the injuries that he deals
Never
with.
Never underestimate the outspoken,
yes,
heavily involved wife.
Yes.
Interesting.
And so, one of his calling cards his entire career has been playing through injury and toughing it out, which we don't see a lot these days in professional football and other sports. But, man, it looks like it's caught up with
so
him.
So Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady then to the Rams next year?
Brady.
Brady's going to go back to New England.
You think so?
I don't know. Keep an eye on that one.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the Phoenix Suns. They bounced back from a loss on Friday night. They get a big win in San Antonio, but there's a bigger game on tap tonight as they complete their Texas three-step. We'll get into it straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.